This is James Coover with K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District with your Extension Crop Report. Most agricultural leases run from a March 1st to March 1st basis, and to change or cancel an agricultural contract, it needs to be done 30 days before March 1st. This year, that's January the 30th. So, if you are planning on changing a contract, the time to do so is now. In this report, we are going to cover just a few of the commonly misunderstood Kansas lease laws. It's important to keep in mind that in Kansas, both written and non-written oral contracts are covered in Kansas law. Also, the following dates and terms are only accurate if a current written lease doesn't override the contract terms. Misconception number one. Whether it is written or oral, a crop share or cash rent, to terminate a lease requires a written termination letter that must get to the tenant by 30 days before March 1st. Misconception 2. Even if there is wheat or another crop currently planted, the termination date is still set for March 1st. However, even though the contract term is set for March 1st, the lease doesn't actually terminate until the day after harvest or August 1st, whichever comes earliest. To caveat this, if the lease was terminated back in August, before the wheat was planted, or the ground was even tilled or sprayed, and the tenant planted wheat anyways, the contract still ends on March 1st. Basically, a wheat crop can't be used to intentionally drag out a contract. But still, there can be timing issues where a termination letter was received in good time, but prior to receiving the notice, the tenant had already applied fertilizer or herbicides intended to benefit the next crop. In this case, the landlord must reimburse the tenant for the cost of the applications. Fall implied anhydrous comes to mind. However, an application of lime, phosphorus, or potassium, although intended to benefit crops for years to come, might not qualify in full value. Misconception 3 is about noxious weeds. This one is a little ambiguous, but both the landlord and the tenant are responsible for controlling noxious weeds on the property, though it is the landlord who is actually liable to the county. A fourth misconception is based on who is legally liable if someone gets hurt on the property. In most cases, the tenant, being the de facto owner, is liable rather than the landowner. There are some exceptions though, like when the landowner knows of a hidden danger but didn't disclose that to the tenant, or when the landowner was to repair something but didn't. Although there are a lot of other misconceptions, the last one I'm going to mention is one of the biggest. Hunting rights are very commonly misunderstood when it comes to leases. Unless a contract otherwise states, hunting rights belong to the tenant, and the landlord can't hunt the ground without permission from the tenant. However, that does not mean the tenant can lease out hunting rights to someone else, as this would be a sublease. There is some ambiguity towards right to cutting firewood or hedge posts as well. For this, it would just be better to ask, whether you are the tenant or the landlord. If you have any questions over agricultural leasing, please give me a call at 620-724-8233. This has been James Coover with your Extension Crop Report.